looking this morning over in 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5. He said in verse 14, "For the love of Christ constraineth us."
Yes, yes.
He says it constraineth us.
Thank you, Lord.
It binds us. It's what holds us together.
Yes.
The Bible says constrain. That word can take the meaning of to arrest. And brother, if God ever got a hold of your heart, that's what he's done. He's arrested you. He's pulled you in and you can't get away. You can't. You've been apprehended. And what a blessing it is to be in him. He says, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." That, brother, I was thinking, and I'd read a little bit on this. And I kept seeing Song of Solomon brought up. Uh-huh. It says his banner over us is love.
Yes, sir.
And they have the same meaning there. You look at that scripture over there, yes. Brother, I couldn't help it. I was a little carnal in my thoughts yesterday. I was thinking about you watch them old westerns.
Yeah.
Them soldiers fly under a banner.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody that knows anything about the Civil War, those men that fought in those regiments, they had a banner.
Yeah.
That's how they knew where their troops was at. That's what set them apart from everybody else out there on the battlefield.
Right.
And, brother, that's what sets us apart this morning. And that banner is waving love.
Amen.
The love of Christ this morning. That's what sets us apart from the world is the love of Christ.
Yeah.
It constrains us. That's what holds us together, what binds us. He said, "For the love of God constraineth us."
Yes.
Who is that us? That's all of his.
Yes, sir.
Every one of his. But that's not the world. That's not religion.
No.
That's not the Catholic Church.
No.
Or this church or that church. But that is his church.
Yes.
It's not a universal religion. It's Jesus Christ, his children, his sheep, the ones that hear his voice, the ones that follow him. That's who he's talking about there. It constrains us. Everything we do today, everything we say today, will be because of him. We didn't come, Brother Todd, to meet about us. We didn't come about that. We didn't come to sing the songs that we like to sing or to preach about something else we want to hear about. We come to preach about him, to sing about him.
Yeah.
The reason we're here today is because of him. Brother Keith, I love you and would do anything for you, and I hope you know that. But today I want to talk about him. If there's any fellowship, it's going to be between me and you. It's going to be in him today. And that's what I want. That's why we're here. The Bible said over in 1 John, he said, we love him because he first loved us. That's what binds us all together. That's why we're here this morning. He said, "For the love of Christ constraineth us." He said, "Because we thus judge." He said, "We've done reasoned. It's been determined in our mind. Because we thus judge that if one died," who's that one? That's Jesus Christ. "If one died for all," not the whole world, I'll say it again, he died for his sheep. He died for his church. He died for his people. He died for those that he was talking about over in John 6. When he said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. That's the ones he died for. He prayed for those that he died for. You go and look in the garden over there, Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed. He prayed for his disciples. He prayed for those that would believe because of those disciples. That's me. That's you. He prayed for us today. He didn't pray for the world. He says it in that scripture. Hey, I pray not for the world, but I pray for these. That's the ones he cared about, the ones that was given to him by the Father. That's the ones that he cared about. That's the ones that he died for. And he died for every one of them. Not just for those that believe right now, but everyone that ever will believe. He died for all. That's the all he's talking about this morning. Brethren, this morning, he died not just as an example. He didn't just die to be a martyr. He didn't just die for a cause. There's a lot of people believe that. There's a lot of people believe that. But they're wrong. He died in my stead. He died in your stead if you've been born again. He didn't just die so that you could have life. He died that you would have life. Brother, he took every bit of your sin. You think about that, the sinless Son of God, the Lamb of God, one that knew no sin, left heaven and earth. He didn't have to. He left because it was his will, because he had to follow the will of the Father, because he had to follow his own will. That was what they had predetermined would happen. Why? Because he loved you, because he loved me this morning. But he left heaven and earth, came to this earth, and lived a sinless life. A sinless life. Was ridiculed and persecuted. People misunderstood him. He went to that garden and he prayed under such a heavy load that the sweat was as great drops of blood. Brother Keith, he knew what was coming. How could he know that? He had never died in this flesh before. He knew it. He was God. He knew what was coming. He knew the separation between him and the Father. He knew that anguish that was coming. That all of your sin, that the pain and the shame and all the guilt that would come from your sin being placed on him and my sin being placed on him. The Bible says that he was made sin for us who knew no sin. He became that for me and for you. What love there. What love that the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Yeah. That he would do that for us. He did that for me. He did that for you today. That's the love of God. He did that. Took all your sin to be your substitute. He said died for you. That means in your place. That means in your place. That don't just mean that he died so that, you know, you could feel good about this or, you know, that you could be part of a religion or a club or a group. He died in your stead. He took my sin so that I don't have to pay for my sin. That's nothing but grace this morning. That's nothing but the love of God. I don't deserve that. I don't deserve that, and you don't either this morning. You're not good enough, and I'm not either. That the God of heaven would come and die for you, you're not that good. You're wicked just like I am. Still in this flesh, you're wicked. Even born again, he put a new spirit in you, but your flesh is still wicked. But he loved you that much, Chief, that he left everything. Left everything. To die for you. If he was talking here about all, as in the whole world, and he died for all, and he rose again for all, the Bible says he rose again for our justification. If he rose for all, if he died for all and rose for all, then everybody'd be justified. And they ain't. And they ain't going to be. I don't care what your Bible says. My Bible says that they ain't going to be. There's some that's condemned because they won't believe. There's some that's condemned because they're not his. They're not his. He didn't die for them. He died for all those that the Father had given him, for all those that would be saved. That's the ones he died for. He said here, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Is he talking there about every man's dead in trespasses and sins? No, because every man's dead in trespasses and sins. Every one of us, saved and lost, those that's his and those that ain't his, those that will never know God, they're still in their sin. They're still dead. That's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about those that died in him, those that died with him there on Calvary, those that, Brother Joel, when he died and I died in him and you died in him, then we died to sin. We died to that condemnation. We died to that judgment that we would have to face. We died to those things. We were in him. He can't be talking there about dead and trespasses and sin. Because if he was, then he died for all. And if he died for all and rose for all, then all would be justified. But brother, we died in him. Because of that, we're acquitted. We're justified. We've been glorified. His righteousness was imputed unto us. That we had none. Brother Keith, I had no righteousness. The Bible says our righteousness is filthy rags. It's just, brother, you know you're a mechanic. You get done, an old rag, just be greasy. It's no good for anything but to be burned, really. You ain't getting it out. You ain't going to get it clean. It's filthy. It's rotten. It's no good for nothing. That's the best we had. That's what it was. The best we had was good for nothing. But, brother, he imputed his righteousness on us. Why? Because of his love. Because he loved you. Because he loved me today. The meaning here of this scripture isn't that Christ died for all that were dead. The meaning here is that all that Christ died for were dead. That's what it means. So for love Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. Then he said, verse 15, then that he died for all. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. In Romans 6, verse 6, he said, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Why did he do that? Why did he die for you, Brother Keith? Why did he save you? Why did he change your life? You live unto him. Not to your old sin. Not the way you were living. He didn't save you just to go on about your way. He didn't just give you a fire escape from hell. If that's all you've got, then you need to check up. You need to look real hard on what the Lord's done in your heart. But he changes a man's life when he saves him. He changes him. And we live not to ourselves anymore. Colossians 3, verse 3, he said, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. He said, you're dead. You died with him there on Calvary. Your natural being, all those things that held you back, all the sin, the condemnation, death's power, sin's power over you, it all died in Christ. That day it died in Christ. Galatians 2, he said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. He said, it ain't me that's living anymore. It's Christ, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Romans 6, verse 11, he said, "Reckon ye said, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." He said, and he died for all those that would be saved, all of his, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. He died to take away my sin. He died to take away your sin. Jesus Christ laid down his life there on Calvary. Gave up the ghost. They didn't kill him. He laid it down. Brother, he had the power. If it wouldn't have been in his will to die, then they couldn't have took his life. Couldn't took his life. You say, well, he was just a man. No, he was God. He was 100% God. Yes, he was in flesh, but he was God. But they wouldn't have killed him if he didn't want them to. But it was my sin, and it was your sin that hung him there on that cross. And he died, and 3 days later, he rose again. For your justification, for mine. He rose again and he ascended to the heavens and he placed the blood on the mercy seat. The Bible says obtaining eternal redemption for us. Obtaining eternal redemption for us. It means forever and ever we are redeemed in him. We've been bought back. The price that we couldn't pay, that debt that we owed that we couldn't satisfy in Christ got paid. It got satisfied. He says, henceforth we should not live under themselves. I should not live under my fleshly lust. I should not live under my own will. Ever... Brother Todd, you ever done, somebody done a favor for you? Just done a favor for you. You feel indebted to them, don't you? Just a simple favor, just help you with something. You feel indebted to them. Brother, he laid down his life for you. He laid down his life for you. He died that you might have life. There ought to be a feeling of indebting to him. There ought to be. A lot of people will tell you, you shouldn't, you don't need to feel that way. Some of these prosperity preachers, they'll teach and preach that God wants you to be happy and to have all these things, and if God's blessing you, then you're going to have all this stuff. Brother, that's so far from the gospel that I don't know where they come up with this mess. True life is in him today. Brother Keith, whenever I'm not in bondage is when I'm living in him. If I'm living to your opinion or to another man's opinion or living under bondage that a man's preaching works, that's all it is. If you get down to it, if you're preaching that if you don't read your Bible or you don't pray like you ought to, then you can't be saved. Brother, that's just works. It's just works. That's all it is. You're putting people under bondage if that's what you're preaching. But freedom in Christ is just living in him. Yeah. Living in him, Brother Todd. Following him when he leads you. If the God of heaven tells you to give another brother $100, then that's living in God today. If he has you to open a door for somebody and say, God bless you, and you do that, then God will use that eventually. You don't know what God's going to do and what he says, what he does. But he does. We've said it before. He sees the whole picture. He knows everything. And you don't know what's working in a man's heart. And I don't either. I have no idea what's in your heart today. I can kind of tell by the expression on your face a little bit. You might be happy. You might be sad. There might be things weighing on your mind. I might can see a little bit of that. But I can't see what God's working down in your soul. And there's been times, And some people might not agree with it, but there's been times that there's a lost person at work that said to me that God is good all the time. And He is. But God would use that and have a sinner tell me that. Tell me the truth. And God work in my heart. You think God's big enough to do that? Sure He is. Brother, we're to live unto Him. He said, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Brother, if you died in Him there on Calvary, then you rose again in Him on the third day, brother.
Yeah.
In your life today was made possible then. Not just possible, but that it would happen. Brother Joel, if He never would have died, if He never would have rose again, if He never would have ascended to the Father, if He never would have sat down at the right hand of God, then I'd still be just lost and dead in my sins.
Yeah,
and you would be too. You would have no hope. If any of those things Christ don't do, if any of those things, He has to be my go-between. He has to be between me and the Father. He has to place the blood on the mercy seat. He has to rise again. I don't have no life if He don't rise again. You don't have no life. What good would forgiveness mean if you have no life? It all has to happen. Romans 12, verse 1, He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, it is your reasonable service. He said, that just makes sense. It's logical. A man laid down his life for you. Took all your sin away, Brother Todd. Gave you a new life. A new life. Free from all that sin, all that condemnation, all the guilt that you lived before. He gave you a brand new life. It's your reasonable service to give it back to Him, to live for Him. He died so that me and you that were dead, would have life and real life in Him. That's where your life sits, in Him today.
Yeah.
Brother Joel, if you got life today, it's in Him. This world, just living to your flesh, is nothing but death. It's nothing but death. It don't bring any happiness. Am I saying that you can't go out and enjoy the things of life? No, I'm not saying that. But it don't bring you no true happiness, no lasting peace. Why? Because in this flesh is going to be another day. Brother Keith, if everything goes good for you today, and I hope it does, but if everything goes good for you today, there's going to be another day. And in the flesh, one of these days, something's going to go wrong. And if you live like I live, then most of the time it's going to be the other way around. I'm not saying there's not joy and peace, but there is, but it's in Him. It's in Him. This life is full of troubles. This life is full of them. There's always another bill in the mail. There's always somebody getting hurt. Somebody getting teeth pulled out. Something happening. Always. That's life. That's this fleshly life. But brother, we got real life in Him this morning. That's what He died to give you. Real life in Him. He says, wherefore henceforth we know we no man after the flesh. The word know there means to see, be aware of, to have regard for. Wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. I was reading through this scripture. And I've heard this preached and taught a couple different ways. I was speaking to God yesterday. And he told me that in Jesus Christ, I should never regard one man above another. That's what he said. He said, I should never regard one man above another. And I was reading through this scripture, and these men here, I mean, you got to know that in Jewish times, Jews were the nation of Israel. They were. They were his people. Me and you, it was just Gentile dogs. We nothing. We were nothing. We had no hope, no way to God. But Jesus Christ broke every bit of that down. He came to seek and save that which was lost. Everyone that the Father had given him. It didn't matter if they were black or white, or Jew or Gentile, religious or drunkard out in the street. He didn't care. And he don't care this morning. Those men in the Old Testament, God told Abraham, circumcise. Told him, circumcise his children. Those Jews regarded that as a symbol that you were God's. You were God's chosen people. There was Gentiles that got born again in the New Testament after Calvary, and they pushed these men to get circumcised. They did. And they wanted them to observe the law. And they wanted them to observe all the things that they had in the Old Testament. Those things was given to the Jew. It was the Old Covenant, that's right. But God, in Christ Jesus, made a new covenant. In him. And Brother Joel, this morning, there is no reason why you can't circumcise a child. But there ain't no special blessing on it. Don't matter if you're Jew or Gentile. That cutting of the flesh means nothing to him. What matters to him is the cutting in the heart. And brother, this morning, it doesn't matter if what your place in society is or what side of the track you come from. If you're in him, that's what he regards. And that's what I should regard. And that's what you regard. Brother, not that I think low of anybody that's not. I don't think higher of one man above another. I want all to come to him. I was out there in the garden yesterday and was looking around, and I thought to myself, you know, there's no reason. There was some of them hills I had made out there for some cantaloupe and watermelon. And the thought come to my mind, there's no reason that I shouldn't want that little hill that I made over there to grow watermelon just as good as that big one. It don't make no difference. It don't make no difference. I know that's carnal, but the thought come to my mind that it don't matter if it's in this row or that row or... Brother, I want it all to grow the same. Yeah. I want it all to come up and glorify God the same. Yeah. Therefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, they said some of these people, they've known him. They walked with him in the flesh. They knew him as a natural man. Some of these people, doubtless, in the flesh, were kin to him. Cousins, uncles. The Jews regarded him. Some of them men regarded him as a Jew. Thought more of him because he was. Some men thought more or less of him because he was. But brother, there was things that they judged him on after the flesh. But brother, he's gone now in this flesh. And any kinship that you have to him is in the spirit today. And any kinship that I got to you today is in the spirit. If you won't go far enough back in your history and your lineage and you look it all up, sure, we all kin to each other. Yeah. We are. We have to be. Yeah. God created man and woman. Yeah. One of each. That's what God created. And you might not believe the Bible, but I do. There came a time when wickedness was great upon the earth and God killed every flesh except for Noah and his three sons and their wives. And so there's eight. And you can counter back to that. You can counter back to that. Brother Keith, you go far enough back, we can. Somewhere down the line. Brother Todd, we can. Somewhere down the line. And that's all right. But I can't regard you today because I'm kin to you. In this flesh. I don't regard you today because of what you do for a living. What your religion was before you got born again. What nationality you was. There's some things I might not want to go back in my lineage and see. There might be some things that I'm not satisfied with or would might be proud of. I don't know. Some of that might just need to stay in the past. But brother, this morning, what I do regard today and what you can regard today is in Christ. And if you know him, it's not after the flesh this morning. Chief, me and you got some things in common in the flesh. We do. We got some things in common. Brother, we got a lot more in common than him. We got a kinship, a brotherhood in him this morning. Brother, some of these men knew Christ, but brother, if you know him today, you know him as your Savior, your Lord. You know him as the King of Kings, your Redeemer. All the things of this flesh, they have no value. Any favor that I might have because of who I was, who I am, brother, that don't mean anything. But brother, I'm in him today. And not because of who I was, not because of who I am, but because of Jesus Christ this morning. I'm in him and you're in him if you're in him. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, if any man, he says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. Brother, what is he really saying there? He says every man that is in Christ, this is what he is. This is what he's really saying. Every man that's in Christ, this is the way he is. He is a new creature. He is. He is. Right now. Yesterday. Tomorrow. Forevermore. He is a new creature. There is no going back from that. Praise his name. It is. It's present tense. It always is. Every time you read it, it will be is. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, it don't matter if you're a Jew. It don't matter if you're a Gentile. It don't matter if you're circumcised. If you're not circumcised, it don't matter if you're rich or poor, black or white. If you're in Christ, you're a new creature this morning. New. The word new means fresh, unused, unworn. Yeah. It's brand new. That don't mean it's been overhauled. No. That don't mean it's been made a new, it ain't, that ain't refurbished, remodeled. That ain't what he means. It's new. The word creature there means an original formation. Brother Keith, that means he made you original right then, that day. When you got born again, you was made in him a new creature. A new creature. You weren't the same Keith Redmond that you had been before. It ain't an outward reformation. It's an inward work of grace. It's something that you don't perform. It's all his work. Every bit of it's his work. Brother Keith, when you got born again, you didn't pick and choose what you was going to stop and start. You didn't pick and choose what desires you were going to have and what desires you weren't going to have anymore. You wasn't picking and choosing where your appetite was towards this word of God. That wasn't something you chose. Those things that in our past that, brother, I know there was things that I tried to quit in the flesh before I was saved, and I couldn't let go of it. And there's some things I still struggle with, brother. There's still some things I struggle with. But, brother, there was things that I had tried before and failed. But as soon as I was born again and the Holy Ghost said, that's not right, those left. Those things left. I didn't choose that. You didn't choose that either. That's a work of God. It wasn't an improvement of your old nature. It was a new nature imparted into you. It was a new heart. It was new desires. It was new eyes to see, to read the Word of God. It was new ears to hear when the preacher was preaching. When God was speaking. Brother, you could hear it now. Why does the lost man out on the street not hear? Why does he not see what's clearly around him? What we can see when we look around and just see heaven and earth. And I can go out and look at my bees or watch the chickens or whatever, and I can see the Word of God unfold before my eyes, or look at my muscadine vines and understand what he's talking about where he says he's the vine and we're the branches. Why can they not see those things? Because their eyes are blinded. They don't have eyes to see. They don't have ears to hear yet. They need to be made a new creature. Those things need to be now made known to them. This natural man can't understand it. There's a lot of mornings I go down the road, and there's sometimes I sit in traffic and I hear people's radios. Thank unto God, what in the world are they listening to? No wonder they act the way they do. But brother, there's a desire in my heart to hear Scripture. Brother, I can go down the road and I can pull it up on my phone. What a blessing it is to be able to ride down the road and hear Brother Milby, Brother Heatherly, some man of God preaching the Word of God. And that desire is in my heart. And not only the desire to hear it, but the joy whenever his ears hear it now. Yeah. Ears to hear what he's actually saying. What God's speaking to my heart through that. Those desires weren't there before. If I read my Bible before I got saved, it was just out of duty. It was just out of, well, that's a good thing to do. It's just a religious work. Brother Todd, I get up now in the mornings and I read Scripture because it brings me joy. There's a desire in my soul to do that. Why? Because we're a new creature. He said old things are passed away. All those old things that we used to desire, those old friendships that we had. Brother, I didn't have to go out and try to shun all those people to leave me alone. When I got born again, I did not have to go out and say, I can't be friends with you anymore. They didn't want to be around me. Why? Because I talked different. I wanted to act different. There was things that they did I wasn't going to do anymore. They didn't want to be around me. He said, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. That word all there means all.
Yes.
All things are become new.
Yes.
He gives you a new course of life, a new life in Him, a new way of living. Brother, that old righteousness that I had, it was just filthy rags. He gave me righteousness.
Yes.
Imputed it to me. Gave me a new life. Gave me new desires. Brother, brand new.